Kingdom greetings, everybody. Everybody had coffee this morning? If you didn't have a cup of coffee, please let me know. We'll hook you up. Oh, it's good stuff. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all again. Let's say a word of prayer for our country. I'm sure you prayed for the country today during worship. Or maybe you didn't. But let's do that. Let's take 1 minute. Okay? You pray for the country. Let's go. Everybody pray for the country. Father, we thank you for America. We thank you for it's still a place of freedom. And Lord, we come together in one accord right now. Your word says to pray for those that are in authority. And we find out once again that Joe Biden had COVID twice in 8 days or 15 days. Lord, we pray that you would touch him. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to him, change his heart. People in authority, God, we pray, Lord, we mention their name. We pray against the evil that's going in this country. We pray against the corruption, Lord. We pray, Father, we pray that you would rise up godly people in authority. And also you would give us the church, your discernment, not to run after people, not to run after somebody, but, Lord, you would give us strategy. Father, this morning we are intentionally praying for America. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy over the church. Lord, we pray that you would bring revival to the church, your bride. Bring revival, Lord. Bring revival to the pastors. Father, I pray this morning for the churches in Virginia Beach, in Chesapeake. You know, there's a lot of churches meeting on Sunday morning. God, Lord, I pray that you would find room in their meeting to minister to them and get them ready. Get them ready. Get them ready, Lord. Get them ready. Get them ready, Lord. Get them ready. Bring revival in America, Jesus. We pray. You know, your words charge us to pray for the country we lived in because our well-being pretty much depend on. So, Father, we ask that you would have mercy and you would turn hearts to you, Lord. We pray for the lost souls. We pray for people that, man, they don't know you, people that don't know you, Lord God. We ask that you would bring them to salvation. Bring them to salvation. And Father, we ask that even for us here, you would continue. Like, I think Ange prayed that Friday night. So you would give us, you would allow us to seize the opportunities for us to continue to be the salt and the light you've called us to be. Father, we would not intermingle into the sinful deeds the world is part of, God. You would purify us, believers. You would give us backbones, Jesus. You would give us a heart that's running for holiness. Running towards holiness. A heart that is thirsty to see your fire in our lives. Jesus, bless America. We sing it. God bless America. And we bless this country today. In your name I pray. And all of God's people said. Put my eyes on. Are you enjoying Revelation? I hope you're reading it. I almost thought the other day, man, I'm going to come here one day and I'm going to take a survey, see who reads it. But you know what? I said, I'm not going to do that. The Bible says, it calls you to obey your leader. You know, so when I ask you to read something, I hope you read it. Because if you don't, there are some blessings you won't experience for not doing things I ask you to do. And I'm going to ask the Lord for grace to challenge you to do things that would keep you in heaven. Can I have a witness? Things that would keep you in heaven. You know, and sometimes, I don't know, I'm not going to get discouraged because it's like, I might repeat myself, but who cares? I'm going to repeat myself anyway. It's for your advantage, you know? And God called me to challenge you, and the day of the Lord is near. Last week, I took some time to talk a little bit about the church in Ephesus. It's so exciting. It's so excited. It was so excited. I listened to my sermon. It was 58 minutes. I'm like, no, that's too long. You know? But it wasn't boring, though. The one good thing, it wasn't boring. If you go back and listen to it, you will be blessed, you know. You know, one of the things we talked about last week in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, over a long period of time, the church in Ephesus had steadfastly refused to tolerate sin amongst its sinners. You know, and today I'm going to talk about, the title of my message is Return to Your First Love. You know, and all of you here, you've fallen in love before. You know, you remember? You remember? I know some of you are laughing. You're like, yeah, that's like long gone. But well, some of you still have to fall in love. It's a good thing, all right, girls? It's a good thing. When the time comes, I mean, when you find the perfect guy, you know, perfect, you know, I tell you, it's gonna be a good thing. But for some of us, we can go back to remember when the first time we fell in love. And I want to take you there. Because, well, I'm talking about the first time you fell in love. I'm not talking about the first relationship. The first time you fell in love. The reason I use this example, because I read in Ephesians chapter 5, it says the relationship between a husband and a wife is the only relationship that linked to the one with Christ and the church. And in verse 4 and 6 in Revelation chapter 2, it says, but I have this complaint against you. What's the complaint? You don't love me or each other as you first did. So this morning, you know, God, Jesus charged the church in Ephesus to repent. You know, of course, he commended them as well because they did not tolerate the Nicolaitans. They did not tolerate them. They denounced the false teachers. And I told you last week, the best way to know between false and truth is to know the truth, right? So once you know the truth, when false comes, you know it. This is not true, you know? If someone tell you this is 60 inches, you're like, no, there's no way this is 60 inches. This is about at least 22 inches, maybe 20 inches. And it doesn't matter how much they want to argue with you. You could find a tape measure and prove to them that there's no way from here to there is 60 inches, right? So truth remains truth, no matter what. You know, we face pressure as a church, as the Church of Christ, to also be open-minded. I talked a little bit about that last week. To be open-minded about many things. Even COVID. COVID actually killed a lot of people spiritually. Thank God for it. Come on. Put your hands on someone. Say, God, Lord, or, you know, touch somebody. Lord, thank you for this person that's still being you, that is still in you. Still in church. Amen. You know why? Because there are people that have been dead, even if physically they're breathing, but they've been dead spiritually. Can I have a witness? Come on, guys, you got to help me out. Yes, Pastor, come on now. Help me out, all right? I gotta take you guys to what's that church we went to? St. James Church. God bless him. Can I have a witness? Come on, help me out. Okay. You know? But when the body of believers begin to tolerate immorality or even stop challenging people when they're lukewarm, did you know it's a challenge for a pastor to rebuke? It can be a challenge. It's very intimate. It can be very intimidating to go and address sin in someone's life. To go and address or challenge people to follow God. Because it's a lot easier. It's so easy to be like, you know what, who cares? As long as I'm going to heaven, then who cares? But you know, a preacher or someone who's been called by God will never act like that. So, the church, I told you last week, 70% of the churches in America are liberal. They just slip with sin. They don't call it for what it is. Especially, you know, if, you know, you don't want to rough the waters. You don't want to lose your job. I pray, I said, Lord, call the prophets. Call people in ministry. Call them. Call them in ministry. Because when God calls you, if God calls you to do something, your focus is not the money. Of course, the Lord will provide. God will always provide. He remained faithful. But the focus is not the pay. The focus is to remain faithful in what God has called you to do. So that's why, once again, I'm making this public declaration that we will not lower our biblical standard here in Restoration Church. I will not lower the biblical standard in my life, in my marriage. I say in my life personally. Because remember, everything flows from my personal relationship with Jesus. If I don't have a healthy relationship with Jesus, guess what's going to happen? This church is not going to be healthy. You know why? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, chapter 2, the first verse, Jesus says, John, you write to the angel of the church. And the word angel here is the same word translated shepherd. You write this letter to the shepherd of the church. You let the pastor. You write this to the pastor. I mean, I'm like, okay, see, so if Jesus would literally right now just, I mean, this still stands, all right? So I'm taking this to heart. I'm taking this very serious. And I invite you to pray for the churches in America. Pray for the churches in the world. I don't know if you ever ask yourself this, why, you know, missionaries or ministries overseas always experience the power of the Holy Spirit, like healing, miracles, wonders. Well, I tell you, it's because the gospel is under persecution. It's because their faith, they have to either give their life to believe or don't believe. So when it costs them something, or they'll see the glory of the Lord. So my charge, my call for you today, return to your first love. And I've asked you to think about the first time you fell in love, but not necessarily, you could think about your lover or your husband or your wife, but more, let's go and think about the first time you fell in love with Jesus. You remember how it was when you give your life to the Lord? You remember the fire? I remember when I gave my life to the Lord. I was a very smart student. I always score A in school. But I was a very, what they call a vagabond. I was very smart. I would create trouble and cause people to be caught in it. I don't know how I did that, but that was really bad. Thank God it changed my heart. So 11th grade, I met Jesus. So I went to, I had one more year in school. And I remember, guys, I met Jesus and the Lord changed my heart. Changed my heart. And people, the summer, went through the Bible 10 weeks ministry school. And then I went to school back in September. I was on fire. I mean, I was just like, man, I'm gonna change the world. You remember? I'm going to change the world. And you're like, let's go, baby. And then you've got the worries of life. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit even leads you in the desert to be tested. You know, it happened. God will never test you or tempt you. But the Holy Spirit can put you in position so your conviction can be tested. See, what do they say? You know you love someone when you really can't love them. You will know you are patient when you exercising or applying patience in a situation where you want to choke somebody right now. That's how you know you love someone you can love. You know you have self-control when you feel like, man, I can eat more, but your belly says, I'm full. That's when you have self-control. That's why if you don't control yourself, you'll destroy yourself. So think about your first love. You know, when new believers first understand the power and love of God, they rejoice in their newfound forgiveness. They rejoice. First of all, I was lost, now I'm found. It's like, man, there's that joy. You remember? You guys remember? Oh, man, church. I used to go to church. I told you, I grew up in church, but I was also a musician at church, but I didn't like people. I got baptized in water before I became a Christian. See how messed up that is? It was just all religion. So I was religious. But I remember when I got the revelation, oh man, I'm a sinner. And I hope everybody here, you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Because moving forward, if you don't rekindle the first love you had for Christ, guess what? You won't make it. You know why? And I'll tell you why. Because in the first step of your Christian life, you may have enthusiasm. Or what they call, like the excitement. But as you grow in your relationship with Jesus, you lose the enthusiasm. You lose, I have another word for it, your interest. You know? Oh, it's a lot easier to watch church in my PJ. Or it is a lot easier. But I tell you, it's not the will of God for you. Oh, man, I tell you, man, I had a rough week at work. Let me tell you, the best thing you can do when we call for prayer is to pick up your body and come. It's the best thing you can do for yourself. But remember when you had the first love? It didn't matter. I mean, you tired, you go to revival anyway. So you ask yourself, how do I keep the first love on? As we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we lose what they call the seriousness, especially if we lose the seriousness of sin. Sin will cause you to lose your enthusiasm. Your enjoyment. I was telling Den, I said, Den, as worship leader, I am from fun country, okay? Some of us from, we have people that are from serious country, they're always serious. It's all good. You have people that are from fun country, like me, okay? So I'm from, me and Aaron. Then put us in a room, man, dude. We have fun. You know, in our network, there's Pastor John Quensenberry. He's from Fun Country, but he's prophetic. But we get together, man. We have good time. But some other people, they're just very serious. But there's nothing wrong with them. We don't judge them. They shouldn't judge us. We just like fun. So therefore, guess what? If I'm doing this, what I'm doing right now, I'm not enjoying it. It's not good. So when I play, when I lead worship, it's fun. Even if I might be physically tired, it's got to be fun. You know, so someone with the mindset of someone who comes from fun country always look for ways to enjoy the ride. And there's nothing like it. Oh, you better enjoy the ride. You know, like when winter comes, I'm going to enjoy it. You know? Notice I always make mention of the weather. Because I'm just loving it. It's so warm. I think of all of you when I go out there. I'm like, man, I bet they're just like, man, having a bad day. We do our best to keep our love on for Jesus. You know, I read from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. I'm going to have it on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. It's a good verse. It says, is this a chapter 9? Okay. 2 Peter 1, sorry. 2 Peter, did I give you 2? Sorry, my bad. Keep making it. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Verse 3. Second Peter 1:3. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable us enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. Verse 5. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith. Anybody take supplements here in the morning? So you know exactly what I'm talking about. And some of you, you better not forget your supplement. Because you know right now, you need your supplement. In the winter, guess what I started doing last year? I taking vitamin D supplement. Can you believe it? Well, I had to. In view of all this, make every effort. Make every effort. Man, you go on vacation, man, you got to take that little box with you Monday, Tuesday, then there's one day, and back to Sunday, and you fill it with supplements, right? Because you better not skip the supplements. The body needs it. This is what it says here. In view of all what? Go back to verse 4. And because of his glory, excellent, God has given us great and precious promises. And these are the promises God gives us, enables us, gives us the ability to escape the corruption. Man, guys, this is the gospel right here. So the world is corrupted, but guess what? I'm exempt. You know, I'm exempt. No matter what disease is going around in the world, I'm talking about spiritual disease, I'm covered. I'm immune to it. Why? Because of the promises of God that enables me to partake in God's nature. So therefore, in view of all this, supplement. Make every effort. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence. So we must be moral people. And moral excellence with knowledge. So you need to love knowledge. Read your Bible. Get, you know, go to home group. We do Bible study. I mean, I have a study on Revelation. We're going to give to our cell group, cell leaders. We're going to go more into details in our cell groups. Love knowledge. Love to learn about God, the things of God. Get knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. I understand addiction is very strong. Let me make this clear. But the addiction is not stronger than the blood of Jesus. Oh, it's not. You know, I was talking to a believer the other day, and that believer told me addiction is stronger than the blood of Jesus. That was so sad. I said, well, let's have a meet. Let's have a meeting. We're gonna talk. Because if in your mind you think the power that's in the blood of Jesus is less than that addiction, I'm afraid for your salvation. So then there is no power in the blood of Jesus to save your soul. Are you with me? You see how deceiving that is? There is enough power. That's why there's a book called, that book was written by Danny Silk. I can't remember the title. But he talks about powerful people and powerless people. God created us like him. And we're very powerful people. I mean, look what the world does. I mean, men, humankind does. I mean, you all drove the Eastern Shore. I mean, that bridge on the water. You think, well, that's nothing. The tunnel underwater? So the mind of men, it's all God's gift to mankind. So we're very powerful. So therefore, when I choose to follow Christ, when I choose to follow Jesus, there's enough power, not only in the blood of Jesus, but also the willpower. The willpower. I can choose to be bad right now. This afternoon, I can choose to be bad. I'll never choose to be bad. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying this to tell you that you're very powerful. That's why powerful people don't talk about people. They talk about the ideas. Powerless people, when they come together, when they're in the front, they're always yapping about other people. Powerless people, that's what they do. God created us to be powerful people. So therefore, with knowledge comes self-control. Self-control with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness. Verse 7, and godliness with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection with love for one another. Remember, I'm talking about come back, return to your first love. Return to your first love for God. Return to your first love for others. Guys, listen to me. No matter what people has done to you, forgive them. Choose to forgive them. Forgiveness is not easy. Believe me. I'm still dealing with it. I have people in my life. I thought I forgive those person, but it's like every time I encounter them, I have to forgive them again. Anybody ever experienced this? I am. I'm like, man, Jesus. I thought I forgive him, Lord. I've confessed. And I have chosen to forgive him and let them go. But now I want to kill him again. Thank God for the kingdom's gospel. There's more grace. That's right. Then I go to Father. I'm like, God, you know what? Until I see you face to face, I still have to deal with the sinful nature. So Lord, help me. Help me. And then I choose. Why? Because God gives me the willpower. I choose, you know, I'm not going to say, well, you know, I really hate you because you talk to me like that. No, nobody can make us do anything. No one can influence you more than you want. It's all on you. But I tell you, sometimes I wish I could blame my lack of self-control on somebody else. You know? I wish. It would be nice. Thank you so much. Seriously, why, guys? I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm. Come on, if what I'm saying is true, come on, you gotta help me out. I hope I'm not the only one like that here. But I figured I'm all vulnerable right here. You know? You know, verse 8. The more, and this is it. I want you to underline this verse in your Bible. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in the kingdom. So do you want to be useful in the kingdom? Well, you got to keep your love on for Jesus. You got to, your first love, you got to keep your enthusiasm. You got to keep your, I wrote another word that's a lot easier, interest. You got to keep your interest. You know how it is when you lose interest. You lose interest. I don't want to lose interest for the things of God. I don't want to lose interest for the presence of Jesus. I don't want to lose interest for playing for God. I don't want to lose interest for prayer. And you're like, okay, so, you know, of course, the moment I lose interest, you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to get burned out. Even at work. That's why I challenge you young people here or out there. Do something you like. But sometimes you might just start doing something you don't like. But find something that you enjoy doing and go after it. Don't go for the crowd or what your parent tells you you should be doing. Go for something you know, like, man, I enjoy doing this. When I'm doing this, it's, even if I'm tired, it's not work. I just enjoy this. You know, after you're done, you're tired, but man, it's like you look forward to it. Amen? If you like that, you have found your passion. What God has created you for. When you're serving people, you know, you're on call, you know, you're waking up, you're tired, man, but you go out there and you get in the operating room and you're serving this person and you're like, you come alive. After you're done, you're exhausted. You know, you go to school, you teach the children, and you do your thing, you give in it all, and then after you're done, you pooped. But guess what? It brings you life. Find your passion. Do you love God with the same fervor as you were as a new Christian? Do you love God with the same enthusiasm, interest? Do you enjoy God? Do you enjoy the Bible? And my call for our church, for Christians out there, you need that. You need that. You need it. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 32, it says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. And sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do the will of God. Remember, patient endurance. Guys, keep up the fight. Especially now. Do not give in. Press in. Don't do like those who forsake the assembly of the saints. Come to church. Go to church. As long as people, I mean, right now, people think, well, who needs church? I tell you, they don't, this is so blind. We all need it. When I'm talking about church, I'm not talking about the service. I'm talking about the community, the family, the oneness.
The love, that's what it says here. The angel, Jesus told the church, I have this rebuke for you. You have fallen out of love, not only with me, but with people. And you know what happened? When we start doing life together, you know, just got married, and you go on honeymoon. On the way to honeymoon, from my experience, there's an excitement. It's like, man, it's great. First day, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, and then a month later, you move back in together and you start killing each other. In every relationship, the honeymoon season always fade down, fade away. Because we start really getting to know each other. You rub on each other. When I rub on you, you rub on me. Guess what? I'm going to make you mad. There are things I'm going to tell you you're not going to like. Sometimes you're going to think, he's not this great of a pastor. He's not this good, cool dude. And sometimes I might think you're a pain in my butt. But guess what? That's what relationship is. I don't divorce you. I don't leave you. That's why people do church hopping. You know, they got hurt over there. They got hurt over there. And then, oh, man, this is good. I'm going to come here. And then they come here. And then the pastor here start addressing some wounds they carry. Oh, man, this guy, he's just touching. I'm not going to be here. I got to hop somewhere else. What they say, hurt people, hurt people. If you're bleeding over there, you don't get healed, you're going to come here. Eventually, you start bleeding on us. We need our first love. You need your first love. You need to rekindle your first love. I can't love Jesus for you. You have to love him. You have to go after him. And more than ever, don't lose your interest for the things of God. If you are here this morning, you have lost your interest for the things of God. The words in Revelation chapter 2, the words of Jesus to you, it says repent. If you've lost interest, you just lost interest. Because what's going to happen to you when you lose interest? You go through the motion. So if I give you an example. If I lose interest of the things of God, if I'm not seeking the Lord, I'm going to go through the motions. So Sunday morning, I'm going to come here and just go through the motions. If I'm charismatic enough, I might be able to keep the faith for a while. But because I lose interest for the things of God, I'm not going to be in the Word. So therefore, sin's going to knock at my door. Satan is roaring like a really mad lion, waiting for opportunities. And the moment opportunities comes, he'll knock me down. So when he knocked me down, and I tell you, one of the reasons a lot of leaders, they don't confess their sin, it's because they're afraid they would lose their position of authority. Rightly so. Do not lose your first love. Remain in the love you had for God at first. Do not lose your interest. I was reading this, I'm like, man, this is a message I should preach for 7 Sundays in a row. Do not. You should enjoy it. You should enjoy it. Go after Jesus, guys. Please listen to my heart. Go after Jesus. Go after him. Go after his presence. Because that's the only thing that will keep you sane. Go after it. You're feeling dry? Go after it. Fast for 3 days. Call me, I'll fast with you. If you're like, you can't do it by yourself, call me. I'll help you. You're feeling dry. You feel like, man, I don't want to go through the motion. There's a song like that on the radio. I don't want to ride on someone else's passion. I want my own flame. Oh, I want my own flame. I don't want Kendra's flame, your flame. I want my own flame. It's my flame. I don't know how people live without Jesus. See, our service for God must be motivated by our love for God. That's when it will last. I serve God because I love him. That's the difference between Satan and God. When Satan chooses you, he doesn't give you any option. He says, you got to serve me or you die. But when Jesus calls you, he sets you free. You know, when the church was first established, they loved God. You know, in Ephesians, a couple weeks ago, I asked you to read Ephesians. You know, Paul even commented in Ephesians chapter 1. He complimented the church in Ephesus. He said, ever since I first heard your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere. But, you know, it says, I thank God for ever since I first heard of your strong faith and your love for God's people everywhere. Love God's people. Love coming together. You know? And then now I'm going to touch on, you know, we say we are a home-based church. I encourage some of you, you'll never have time to go to home groups. You'll never have time to be part or to start a home group. Never. You have to do it. You need it. But, you know, that's the worst thing if you just, I go to home group, I don't even want to go there. Guess what? You should want to be there. You should. Because it's good for you. You should. I look forward to my home groups. I actually miss them. I have 2 home groups. I'm asking the Lord to raise other leaders so they can take one of them. But I go to men's group. I go to 2 home group. You're like, yeah, Pastor, this is your life. Give that to you. Yes, it is my life. But you know, there was a time I lived in Florida. I had 2 jobs and I was going to school. And I had Monday night cell. There was a time I was so busy. And I look at my schedule. I'm like, man, I can't go to cell. And I find a bunch of guys. I went to church. I was like, guys, I can't go to cell on Monday night because, you know, go to school. And then I had to work 2 jobs at that time to keep things going. I was tired. But, you know, it's just like, man, I don't want to lose interest. It's like I need the community. So I find a bunch of guys at church. I said, what do you guys think if we meet? I go to work like at 7. I said, what if we come together at 5 at the church? Oh, I find 3 crazy guys like me. And they said, yeah, let's. So 5:30. And then before you know it, guys, I had a home group with 12 guys in the morning at 5:30 in the morning. But I tell you, the days we did it on Wednesday morning, the days I did that, I mean, it's like when we're done with 5:30 to 6:45. When I step out of the church to go to work, it was the brightest day ever. It was just like a supercharged energy drink spiritually I had. And I did that for like 2 years. Do not lose your interest. And if you have lost your interest, I call you to repentance this morning. For the Lord says in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2, says, the Lord give me another message. He said, go and shout this message to Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. I remember how eager you were to please me. As a young bride long ago. How you loved me and followed me. Even through the barren wilderness. In those days, Israel was holy to the Lord, the first of his children. All who harmed his people were declared guilty and
and disasters fell on them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Listen to the word of the Lord, people of restoration. All you families of restoration. This is what the Lord says. What did your ancestors find wrong with me that led them to stray so far from me? You know, and when I read this, I'm like, I know some of you, you're asking yourself, well, whatever happened to your children? How come you grew up, they grew up in church, and now they don't want anything to do with church? And I prayed, I said, Lord, you caused my children to have a relationship with you. I pray you girls are not coming to church because of your parents. I pray you have a relationship with Jesus. I pray you know what it's like. You know, I pray you don't come here for your friends. I pray, you know what, no matter where you're at, as a matter of fact, when you go to wherever you got to go to school, go to work, we're going to equip you and release you as missionaries into this world. And you ask yourself, man, whatever happened? It's a question here. Whatever happened to your faith? How come now they're becoming atheists, or they, you know, they rejecting God? People lose their first love. People lose their first love. You know, loving God, you can't love God and love sin. You can't love God and live in darkness. You can't love God and walk in darkness. We can't love God and be sleeping in with sin. You know, Matthew, I'm going to finish with this. And next week, we're going to talk about how can we return to our first love. I'm going to give you some strategies, some things that I'm going to strongly encourage you and challenging you to do. Some steps. But Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 to 14, it says, Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars. But don't panic. Yes, these things must take place. But the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Well, it's happening right now. It happened back then. It's happening right now. You know, when you want to follow Christ, right now on social media, I mean, go follow Christ on social media. Go make a bold stand. People don't watch your stuff. It says, they will hate you. The spirit in you and in them clashes. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Many will turn away from me. This is the word of Jesus right now. And betrayed each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere. And the love of many, many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the world, whole world, so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come. That's why it says here in Revelation chapter 2, if you have anyone with ears to hear, must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the church. So this morning, I'm going to sit on the piano for a little bit, 5 minutes, and I'm going to give you some time. Please give an answer to the word of the Lord this morning. Give an answer to the word of the Lord this morning. Coming back to your first love, I told you this already, and I'm going to repeat it. There's no shame in at the altar. And I want everybody to focus right now. I want everybody to just listen to the word of the Lord. take it to heart. Where are you at when it comes to the things of God? Have you lost interest? Have you lost your enthusiasm? Your enjoyment? You know where you're at. And if that's your case, and I ask you to go to Jesus and fix things.